During the week that has just gone, I had the privilege of sharing about Jesus and his birth with four grade one classes at Buninyong Primary School. That's Alexander's year level, his class and three other classes. Quite unusual in this day and age to have that opportunity. So about 80 to 90 children heard something about the birth of Jesus and all the events around that and something of its meaning. So it was a great privilege. And part of what I did was to ask the children what they knew about the birth of Jesus and all the events around it, anything that they could tell me about the birth of Jesus. Now, there was a lot who sadly didn't know a whole heap. They didn't really know much about this birth of Jesus and the things that surrounded that. But there's also a fair number who had some interesting variations on the Bible's account of Jesus' birth. So, for example, there was one child who thought that Aboriginals were around with Jesus' birth. I don't know whether you misunderstood the question or thought somehow Aboriginals, they've always been around, so they must have been there when Jesus was born. There's also another one who thought that Jesus was born just a bit over 100 years ago, out by a couple of millennia. And still another one thought that Christmas was the time when Jesus died. So some interesting variations there. And really a sobering reminder of how little many people, particularly children, these days know about Jesus. But also of the huge need, as you think about that, the huge need for all who profess faith in Jesus to bear witness to him. Particularly at Christmas time when people know so much about so many other things to do with Christmas, but very little to do with Jesus. Well, in the Bible passage that we're looking at for these 4 weeks over the season of Advent, to try and help us keep Jesus front and centre in our hearts and our minds in the lead up to Christmas, and John chapter 1 verses 1 to 13, we are up to a couple of verses today that tell us about the first person to bear witness to Jesus as an adult. Now, this is another John, just to confuse us with John the author of the Gospel. This is another John who is known as John the Baptist, and he was the first adult that we read about who bore witness to Jesus. And we hear him introduced in verses 6 to 8 as part of the 13 verses that we're looking at. And it's after the writer John, the author of the Gospel, tells us some amazing things about Jesus that remind us that the baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas is so much bigger, so much more incredible than we credit him with. Things that he will expand on in the rest of his Gospel. And we'll actually go on after Christmas to keep working through John's Gospel, and we'll hear the things that we've been looking at in summary in the first 13 verses. We'll hear them expanded on and played out in the rest of John's Gospel. So in the first week from verses 1 and 2, we heard about Jesus, the Word's relationship with God the Father. And so we heard him described as the Word, which was telling us about God's revelation of himself to the world through Jesus. And that Jesus, the Word, was the one who was there in the beginning before anything else was, and that he was intimately connected with God the Father. And the biggest thing of all, that he was and is, in fact, God. And then last week from verses 3 to 5, we heard about Jesus, the Word, and his relationship with creation. How everything, absolutely everything, was made through him. That nothing that is came about apart from him. Everything owes its existence to him. And a part of that creation, we heard how he brings life and light to all, including each one of us. And now we come to verses 6 to 8 where John the author introduces us to John the Baptist and Jesus, the Word's relationship with him. So we heard in the first two verses about Jesus, the Word's relationship with the Father. Then we heard about Jesus, the Word's relationship with creation. And now we hear about Jesus, the Word's relationship with John the Baptist. So let me read out those verses 6 to 8 for us once again. The writer John says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light." At first, as Jill read the whole section out, when you heard verse 6 read out, it might have seemed like an interruption to the flow of all the wonderful things that John, the author of the Gospel, has been telling us about Jesus, to help us give Jesus the attention and the affection that he deserves, not only at Christmas, but always. It seemed to me like a newsreader suddenly being interrupted with a breaking story midway through some news item. But the connection is made clear for us in verse 7 between the introduction of John and Jesus the Word. So we heard that we were introduced to John in verse 6, that he was someone, he was a man sent from God. And being sent from God is telling us that he is someone who is incredibly important in God's scheme of things. Someone special in God's plan for the world. And what was he sent from God to do? And what does it have to do with Jesus the Word, the one that we've been hearing about in the previous verses? But before we look at what John the author says, we find in Luke's Gospel some things about John the Baptist and why he was sent by God. And before he was even born, before he was even conceived, the angel Gabriel, who also came to Mary to announce that she was going to have a baby, the angel came to John's father Zechariah and told him that he was going to have a son. But part of what he told him was that what his son John was going to do and to be. So we just go back to Luke's Gospel for a moment and chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. This is part of what the angel Gabriel said to John's father Zechariah when he announced that he was going to have a son. He said, "He will bring many people, he'll bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John was someone who was sent by God to prepare people for Jesus, to point people to Jesus. And this is the same kind of thing that John, the gospel author, says in the first part of verse 7. He said he came as a witness to testify concerning the light. So John was being sent by God to witness to the light, Jesus. Now these terms, witness and testify, have a legal or courtroom kind of feel to them, don't they? And that is really the sense of the words that John is using here. And just as it is important to verify the truth in a court case by having witnesses to testify, it's also important to have witnesses to testify to the truth that John the author is proclaiming to us about Jesus. Witnesses add weight to something that you are told and make them more believable. So if one of you came in this morning and told me that you'd seen a UFO, I might struggle to believe you. But if there were several of you, and maybe from different families, who came to me and said independently that you had seen a UFO, it might make it more believable to me that there was in fact a UFO. So John the Baptist was sent by God to bear witness to Jesus, to testify about him. And this is just what we hear that he did through the rest of chapter 1, which we'll look at again in the new year. But firstly, in summary, we hear in verse 15. That John cries out to the people and says, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And then a little further on, verses 19 through to 36, he says numerous things to the people about Jesus. So continuously we read that he keeps pointing people to Jesus. He tells them that Jesus is all that John the author has been saying, that he is in fact the light of the world, that the darkness will never overcome. And to what end has John the Baptist been sent by God to bear witness to Jesus? Is it so that people might know who Jesus really is? Is that why John the Baptist bore witness to Jesus? Is that why John the author is writing about Jesus? Is that why people today continue to bear witness to Jesus? Is it so that people might believe? Sorry, is it so that people might know who Jesus really is? Well, knowing who Jesus is a really good goal. But it's not the end goal. John the author says in the second part of verse 7 that the end goal of John the Baptist's testimony is so that people might believe. Where believing is about making a definitive act of faith. A personal decision to put your trust, to put your faith in Jesus. So John the Baptist's goal in bearing witness to Jesus was to bring people to faith in him. And this is also John the author's end goal as well. And what he states at the end of chapter 20, at the end of his gospel, in verse 31. So he says there, these things are written. All that is written about before this chapter says, all these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, if Jesus is the light of the world, if he is the Word, if he is God's very revelation of himself to the world, if he's the one that has always been with the Father and is in fact God himself, and if all things were created through him, and if in him is life and light, then he's not someone that we just need to know about, is he? But in fact he is someone to believe and trust in. Both Johns want to point people towards Jesus. John the Baptist does it through proclaiming Jesus in person to other people. And John the author through writing about him to other people. And for those both back then and even today who may be a little confused by John the Baptist, maybe thinking that he himself might be the light, the one sent by God, and the one to believe and trust in. John the author makes it clear in verse 8 that this is not the case. He says that he himself was not the light, that he came only as a witness to the light. And John the author is trying to make a clear distinction between Jesus and John the Baptist. And John the author also makes this clear through some of John the Baptist's words in verses 19 to 36. As time and time again he denies that he is in fact God's promised Messiah. So friends, as we continue to reflect on Jesus coming into the world as a baby this Christmas, and as we continue to fight to keep him front and center of our lives, we firstly need to hear John and John's testimony that Jesus is in fact the light and that no one else is. And that he is the one for us and all people to put our faith and trust in. But we also need to learn from John the Baptist about bearing witness to Jesus. To testifying that he is the light and life of all. That he is the one through whom all things were made. That he is the one who is the Word, God's revelation of himself to the world. Who has always been with God the Father and is in fact God. And we can easily point people to ourselves or to a preacher or a pastor or a priest or to a particular church. But Jesus is the one that we need to be pointing people to, just as John and John did. And John the author will go on to bear witness to the most wonderful thing of all about Jesus, his death on the cross for our sin, but also his resurrection on the third day. This wonderful foretaste for all who would believe and trust in him. The world needs more people like John the Baptist, who will bear witness to Jesus and point people to him, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the rest of the year as well. We're going to once again conclude by together professing these things that we've heard from John the author over the last couple of weeks about Jesus in the words of the Nicene Creed. But also we want to pray that we each might be encouraged by John the Baptist's example of bearing witness to Jesus, both at this Christmas time but always, so that everyone might believe, including those members of your family who don't, or friends or neighbours, as well as the many school children who don't know much at all about Jesus. So I invite you to stand as together we say this creed, if you feel you're able to. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.